Welcome to our discussion of Tisha B'Av, five roots to the practices of Tisha B'Av. I have two questions about the practices of Tisha B'Av. Number one, why do the practices of Tisha B'Av seem to go way beyond the purview of that which is articulated and described and prescribed in the Talmud in Ta'anit? There we do not have 3 weeks of mourning. There we do not have 9 days of so many severe practices of mourning. What's going on? What is the source of this great extension of the laws of mourning beyond the week of Tisha B'Av to 9 days and 3 weeks? Number two, why is there such a difference between the Shiva and the Shloshim and the Yud Beis Chodesh, the practices of mourning, which lo aleinu, we shouldn't know from it, which take place during, God forbid, the loss of a loved one, and the practices of Tisha B'Av and all that comes with it? There's not an exact synchronization of the laws between that which publicly is done and that which would be done privately, God forbid, in the case of a loss. Why isn't there more of an absolute lining up of the practices? The answer to both questions is that there are at least five sources of the practices. We have Tisha B'Av and 9 days and the 3 weeks prior to that. And it's based in five different areas of law, not simply the laws of private mourning. The first realm is from the realm of private mourning, and that's why rechitza, or bathing, and sicha, anointing with oil and soothing lotions, tashmish hamita, marital relations, and the ilat sandal, the wearing of the shoes, these four things are classic aspects of mourning for the Shiva, and they're also classic aspects of ta'anit, of another realm of Jewish law, for fast days. Now, the notion of l'saper, l'chabes, in learning Torah, that we cannot take haircuts, we cannot do laundry, and we cannot learn Torah in the normal fashion, these are also classic functions of avilut, of mourning, not of ta'anit, but of mourning and of classic mourning. Now, then there's a second aspect. The second aspect is not of a din in avilut. It's not something that's borrowed from the laws of mourning, but it's a din in a gavra and avil. A person who is an avil, a person who is a mourner, is likely to not want to have much to eat. And therefore, the meal before, the right before Tisha B'Av, is just to consist of bread and one other item, usually an egg. Because that's what a gavra, person who is an avil, who is a mourner, that's what he would probably feel like doing. So that's the Sudam Afsekes, the last meal. Number three, there are some practices that are not borrowed from the realms of a realm of avilut, of mourning, but rather, they're specifically because this is not plain generic mourning or sadness, but mourning and sadness for the destruction of a temple. And therefore, the notion of not eating meat for 3 weeks is because the Orchos Chaim says that, well, makes sense. 3 weeks ago, we commemorated the fast of Tammuz, the Shabbat Sabra Tammuz, when the Batel HaTamid, the daily offering, was no longer offered. And the daily offering consisted of meat, and it consisted of wine. So that's why we refrain from meat and wine, not because before the funeral, a mourner refrains from meat and wine, but because this is a din in Churban, in destruction of the particular temple. The notion of that the world was woven through the temple, the place of the temple, at Evan Shetiyah, it's the place of the weaving of the world. That's why many women refrain from weaving during this time. So these are practices unique to the destruction of a temple. Or the notion that if you are studying on this day, you can study things relevant to the destruction of the temple. That's a little different than what you might do during the mourning period. The Rabbeinu Tam thought that really these exceptions for studying about the temple and destruction and Job are really just for the Tisha B'Av, not for the mourner. We say much of it applies to mourning as well, but nonetheless, some of the things we can study on Tisha B'Av stem from the fact that Tisha B'Av is a day of the destruction of the temple, and therefore it's different as to what you might want to study. The fourth realm which Tisha B'Av draws on is the Kinos. The Book of Lamentations is a different source of Jewish law when it comes to the mourning of Tisha B'Av. Bitzayim Rato, The Maharam, the great Maharam of Rothenburg, says that because of a verse that says that he ripped his clothing, and therefore they say not to wear a talis, particularly in the morning of Tisha B'Av. Some don't wear a talis at all on Tisha B'Av. Yeshed Badavi Dom, the notion of sitting on the floor, not so much perhaps borrowed from the laws of mourning, which that positive aspects of mourning, turning over the bed, does not apply, but rather comes from the verse in Eichan Lamentations. It says we should sit on the floor. Bachotiv kebalayla. When do you read the Lamentations? You read it at night because of the verse there. Satam tvilati. We refrain from the prayer of Titkabel, that we ask God to accept our prayers in the Kaddish, because on Shabbos, on Tisha B'Av, we say that Satam tvilati, our prayers have been closed off. God is not listening. So the fact that in the Yerushalmi, it's mentioned that some would eat their last meal in ashes, because Yichbishani Ba'efer, there's a verse that says that we were rolled in the dust, in the dirt, and that's why we eat dust, not dirt because of the laws of mourning. There's no law in mourning that you have to sit in dirt, but rather because it says in the Megillah's Eicha, in the Book of Lamentations, the Megillah of Lamentations, that there was such a practice. Finally, another unusual source and root for the laws of Tisha B'Av. And that is, yes, the rabbis of the Talmud originally initiated that there should be the week of Tisha B'Av. That's the time for all the sad practices. However, the Aruch HaSchaim points out that we want to enter Tisha B'Av disheveled. We want to enter Tisha B'Av unkempt, unbathed. And therefore, to simply refrain for, in this year, 2-3 days from bathing and from eating wine, from drinking wine, from eating meat, from doing laundry, how will there be a heker? How will we notice that a person is unshaven after 3 days? What if Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday? How are you going to recognize and appreciate that the person hasn't shaved, hasn't taken a haircut? And therefore, perhaps many of these practices are meant to extend the morning practices so that it should be determined, it should be clear when Tisha B'Av enters that this person has been in mourning. He looks like he's been in mourning. It dramatizes the day of Tisha B'Av for us. When on Tisha B'Av, a person sees that everyone else is disheveled. They haven't bathed in days. They haven't shaved in weeks. This enhances our Tisha B'Av. It changes Tisha B'Av. Not because it's absolutely forbidden. Several weeks before Tisha B'Av, perhaps it's really not Tisha B'Av time yet. But the goal is not to be in mourning 3 weeks before. The goal is to be disgusting on the day of Tisha B'Av. So the entire community should feel that we are in a real state of mourning for this ancient destruction of a temple. So we've outlined that there are actually 5 roots to the notion of the various practices we have on Tisha B'Av. One is the classic realm of mourning, and going with that, the laws of Tanit, of fast days. Number 2, the things that a person might be inclined to do if they were in mourning. Number 3, the things that are specific and unique, not just to mourning in general, but to mourning for destruction of the temple. Number 4, those realms which come from the Kinos, the Book of Eicha, which tells us how to mourn. And number 5, and finally, we've extended the period of mourning. You know why? Because we want to come into Tisha B'Av in a state where everyone will remember that this, although it was years ago, is something that's very close to our hearts, and we really look the part. We look like we're really mourning for the temple from Jerusalem. Thank you for joining us here in the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lemeth congregation here in Memphis, Tennessee, for our discussion of Tisha B'Av. I hope next year we'll join in Jerusalem. We'll celebrate Tisha B'Av, Mitzvah Hashem, together. I want to thank Jason Lefkowitz for making today's presentation possible.